Good morning. Welcome to Otagaville Baptist Church. We are so glad that you are joining us this morning via YouTube or Facebook, whichever you prefer. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. And I wanted to say thank you to all the people, although it's hard to know who exactly you are, but I would love it if you would leave a comment, leave a thumbs up, leave anything. I've left my phone number on a couple of my messages. There again, you can find all this information at otagavillebaptist.org if you would, if you're interested in, even if you've decided to accept Christ, whatever the case may be, or if you'd like to learn more about joining our church or when our services are, whatever I could do to help you, please shoot us an email or you can give me a phone call directly. We're so glad that you're here. We had several prayer requests that we have mentioned out so far, and I'll run through those quickly is what I'll do. Please remember Michelle McMichael. She has had an infection with the pacemaker she had put in a week or so ago. Please pray for her and the family, everybody involved. Also, Bill Hardy's coming home today from the hospital. We are super excited about that. Please remember Mary Green in your prayers. Ann Sanders was also mentioned. And also remember to keep an eye on the weather, too. There's a hurricane out there also, so be ready for that and keep your eyes on it looked at. We have a walk next week for our Myers Mallory mission offering. We are super excited about that. And also, Miss Carolyn's right, you can mail in checks if you'd like to Otagaville Baptist Church, P.O. Box 35, Otagaville, Alabama, 36003. And you can earmark it down at the bottom, Myers Mallory. We also accept tithe checks that way too. So whatever God lays on your heart, we ask that you would please send it in as you feel led. We're just excited that you're here this morning. I'll be honest with you, this was kind of the longest short week I've ever had. To be honest, you know, we were off Monday for Labor Day, but in my world, it was kind of a long week. I had some ups and downs this week, so I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope you are too. I'm fixing that. Sister Leslie's going to come and bless our hearts with some music. Before we do that, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we are just thankful, God, for this day that you have given us, Lord, and thankful, Father, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. I ask, God, that you be with us, Lord, as we just sing praises to you, Father, is that we just, Lord, we just want to glorify your name in all that we say and do. Father, be with us, lead and guide and direct us, Lord, and especially for our mission offering coming up, Father, next Sunday. I ask, God, that you, Lord, lay it on everybody's hearts, Father God, exactly what they're supposed to give, God, because we know, Lord, that that helps glorify your name throughout this world, Lord. Help us all to be a shining light, Father God, for you. And God, lead, guide, and direct us as we step forward in our day ones, Lord, and as we look towards you for guidance each and every day. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and, Lord, what it means to us, Father. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, for us. Lord, thank you, God, for this church. Thank you, God, for that we're able to assemble here together as your people as we praise you. Lord, be with us in our service today. Lord, these things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. Sister, you ready?
First song we're going to sing today is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It'll be our first and last of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you. Well, I hope you had a good Labor Day time with your family or friends, or maybe you just stayed home, or maybe you went somewhere. My family and I, we went to Pennsylvania, believe it or not, for the week. And we left right after church Sunday and drove as far as we could and stopped and got a room and then finished up driving on Monday. And on Monday, we went to Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's where we stayed. Have any of you ever been to Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania? Oh, wow. How about that? When we went, we had a good time. They have like 15 roller coasters or something like that. I realized that I cannot handle roller coasters like I used to. So my oldest daughter, Reagan, was with her aunt down in Florida, helping her recover from some surgery, but the rest of our kids were there. So Riley and Robin, they took off and did all the roller coaster things, and RJ and I slowly kept up with them as best as we could. So anyway, we had a good time. And but one of the things that we did while we were up there was we took a tour, a bus tour. It was about 90-minute bus tour of Hershey, Pennsylvania. We learned a little bit about Milton Hershey and how he had built the town around his factory. And some of the things that he did were just amazing of the times. And but one of the things that was sad but yet turned out to be a blessing to many people thereafter was he and his wife could not have children. And because of that, he and his wife decided to start an orphanage. And that orphanage grew to a school, which grew to a huge legacy that he left behind, where the people that go to that school, I think there's 2,500 students in that school. It's a private school. They don't pay any tuition. They're housed for free, all because of a trust that he set up way back in the 1930s. And anyway, one of the things that he did was when he was building his factory, he decided to go to basically his hometown and built the factory there because he knew that he needed milk, which was close by, and he knew that he needed a good amount of workforce, and he knew the people there worked hard and they worked well. But what he did was for his factory employees, all the way up to the senior executives, he built homes for them, nice homes, and he charged them only the cost of the build. And whenever they left and moved on in life, he would buy it back from them at fair market value at the time. And he did that because he knew that if he took care of his people, that his people would take care of him. And which is a huge lesson for us to learn. There's so many different things that we learned about him, but it got me thinking. And I look at Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. It says, "Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" It got me thinking about a legacy that we leave behind. You know, we all have a reputation, and our reputation follows us as long as we're alive. But when we pass on from this world, then we have a legacy. What did we leave behind? Milton Hershey left behind millions and millions and millions of dollars to a fund and a trust that is still helping people today. That's all well and good, but that helps people here in this world. The only thing, and it might be because of today's culture, it might be because of whatever, the only thing, and I'll have to research him some more. We've got a book on Milton Hershey at home that my wife made the kids read before we left, and I didn't read it. So anyway, I need to go back and read it, I guess. But it told a little bit more about the life of him. But the only thing that I heard the entire 90-minute tour that we had was that of any type of spiritual level whatsoever was that he tried to live his life by the Ten Commandments. which is honorable and good. But there are a lot of lost people that try to live their life by the Ten Commandments too. So it could be today's culture, because they don't want to talk about religious things or not. But if that was his legacy that he left here on earth, that's great. But his legacy in heaven was not much. I want my legacy on earth is not going to be much. Probably debt. But my legacy in heaven, I want to be a little different than that. I want my legacy to last forever, to impact people for the Lord, so they can look at my life and go, okay, this man started here, and this is when he got saved, and this is what he did here, and what he did here, and what he did here for the kingdom, not necessarily for this world. And I believe that that's each and every one of our prayer in here this morning. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the time we can be together. Thank you for your word that can challenge us and it will also embolden us to do more for the kingdom, that we can live a legacy for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing "How Firm a Foundation" next. I wanted to thank everyone for your prayers. I told Kyle and Tanya earlier, this was the best start of school we've ever had. And I was worried about five-year-olds wearing masks and all of that. And one little girl I was sitting with eating lunch, and I said, "You are doing so good with your mask." And she said, "Well, it is what it is." And I thought, you know, she was I think the little kids did better than the big kids did. We complained probably more, but just thank y'all for your prayers, because it was a good week. So we'll sing our first and last of "How Firm a Foundation."
I'm not really sure I know this one.
I'm going to try a chance to get down there so we can record it. But the big praise was Henry Carter got off the bus Tuesday and said it was the best day ever, and he loves school now. So that's never, ever happened ever. So he was excited. So.
Would it surprise you to learn that 70% of the thousands of international students on Alabama's college and university campuses are never invited into an American home, and that 80% are never invited to church? Back in 2013, Alabama WMU and the Collegiate and Student Ministries Office of the State Board of Missions saw a way that they could come together to help lower those statistics. Their idea? Host an annual event that would bring American and international students together in a fun and relaxing environment where friendships could be started and relationships fostered. The International Friends Retreat was born, with an ideal location as the venue, Alabama WMU's World Song Missions Place.
I couldn't think of a more perfect setting for our international students to find a place of peace, and our American students to find that place as well, where they could naturally create relationship as they go about doing life on the campus of World Song, as they go hiking the mountain, or canoeing on the lake, or playing games on our big field, or even in a worship setting. It just provides that pull away place where it's quiet, you're not distracted by the rest of the world and the things that come with that, and it creates an atmosphere where you can have conversation.
In addition to the memories the students take away from the retreat each year, there's been another, more tangible takeaway. The international students are given gift bags that have been lovingly assembled by Alabama Baptists of all ages from across the state.
These gift bags have shampoos and crackers and notepads, just very simple things. They also include a Bible and a personal note. Now, I like to refer to these gift bags as that first touch of Jesus.
This year, those gift bags will take on more significance. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the 2020 International Friends Retreat won't take place. But churches again have the opportunity to donate gift bags, which will be delivered to international students through all of our Baptist campus ministries. The retreat and the gift bags are both a means to a greater end, to facilitate relationships between American students and international students, leading to gospel conversations.
As American students get to know these international students, then often they'll come back from the retreat and they'll invite them to church, and the international students are more than willing to go to church. You know, they're very interested in learning about what is church life like in America. And then they're interested in learning more about the Bible, so that BCM student will invite them to be a part of a small group, a Bible study together. And so they begin studying the Bible together. So, you know, it all begins there, but it just develops into friendships that can last even a lifetime, that go beyond just that weekend.
Thank you so much for the gifts that you give to the Myers-Mallory State Missions Offering, which provides a significant portion of the budget for Alabama WMU and allows us to continue ministries like World Song Missions Place that provides an opportunity for the young man who gave his heart to the Lord last year during the International Friends Retreat.
Absolutely, you can. I'm going to leave my little controller right down there. Maybe this will come in a little bit better. Am I crackling bad right now? So maybe that's an issue. I'm just going to leave it sitting. The problem is I can't move. That's why I hold on to both sides, because I want to hit that way and hit that way. Yeah, and y'all think about that too, is Myers-Mallory, we actually know a couple who are missionaries in Peru too, who were displaced when the COVID started, and they had to send home. They were cut short at their time, and they're waiting to go back into the field. So a lot of families, I think this help now is needed more than ever at this time, is what I'm getting at. That's about right, Miss Carolyn. That's about what you've heard too, that a lot of families have had to come off the fields right now. Yeah, or they get locked into another country and then cannot get out, because they'll shut down a lot of that thing. So they need our prayer and they need our support. So please consider that as we get ready to walk next week and as we give. But please, like Miss Carolyn said, let me remind you again, grab you a prayer calendar on the way out so you can start praying for these missionaries and see how you feel led to give. I'm so glad that you are here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 John chapter 1. And you'll find that there is only one chapter in 2 John. And it is 13 verses. And I felt led to preach here today as I looked over things from last week. And I looked over, I'm going to be honest with you, when I said this was the longest short week I ever had, it was a pretty of a eventful week, to be honest with you. And I know we all have these little dogs and cats and things that we get attached to, and I have one too, and he died this week. And I had to lay him to rest, and I went out there and had to dig his hole. But it was a cat, and I know y'all laugh at me, but Tanya always referred to that cat as my dog, Because every time I'd go to get in the bed, or every time I'd go at 9:30, whenever I'd turn it in, I'd be done in the den, I'd shut out the lights, that cat would run as hard as he could to my bedroom and get on the bed, and he'd wait for me. Because every time I'd get there and I'd get in the bed, he'd roll over on his back, and I'd just rub his belly, and he'd just purr, purr. So we became quite attached, and it kind of formed a bond, so it was hard, and it was Martha Kate's cat is who it started off being, because we do get attached to our animals, and it's hard on us. It really is. So I had an ugly cry with her yesterday, and I call it an ugly cry because I cried. It wasn't just a simple tear coming down my face. I was crying. But they all work our way into our hearts. And as we started this week, too, things were stressful at work because it has been so busy and it's been so hot. So things have kind of snuck up around me, and I had a devotional Friday that really stuck out on me. And I had written down the scripture that God uses, or I'm going to use the phrase, God uses everything that happens in our life for us. James 1, 2 through 4 says, hold your place in 2 John. Now, I'm not leaving you. I'm just talking for a minute. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever we face trials of many kinds and types. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Think about that when we have the problems and the trials of life that sneak up on us. Now, I'll be honest with you, church has not been normal as it has been right now. I'm thankful that we're at least trying to start back a Sunday school to get a little bit more of normalcy in our lives. But as Brother Trey said last week as we talked, we don't want the same old normal. We want a better normal is what we want. We want that in our lives. We want that with our relationship with Jesus is what we want. The Holy Spirit had really spoken to me Friday morning, because I'm going to be honest with you, I had my head down. And after I got up and I got my coffee and I went and I sat down Friday morning, Rick Warren, I flipped on my phone and I hit my first devotion. And it's called Daily Hope, that I really enjoy listening to. And first in James 1, 2 through 4 was staring at me, what I read to you earlier. It was staring at me in my face. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. Holy Spirit told me, how dare you hang your head after every blessing I've given you. It reminded me to always to look up, to always be ready. God talks to each and every one of us. He told me, he said, surrender your pride, Michael, and turn towards me. And it gut punched me. It surely did. Because I thought, you know, Lord, you're absolutely right. Only thing I've said this week is me, me, me. Poor me, me, me. And sometimes we tend to forget all that God has blessed us with. We tend to forget how good our God is to us. So I felt led to say that because maybe somebody out there in this service or the next service needs to hear that today. Remember that we always need to count our many, many blessings. Let's take a look at 2 John together. And I actually pulled 4 points out of this. Is it bad right now? I don't understand. I got a bad feedback. I don't know what's going on. It's like it's crackling or something. No, I'm not sure either. Okay, so we'll just have to look at it. But anyway, I can hear it. But looking at 2 John, let's go ahead and let's carry on. Let's open up with verses 1 through 3 right there. It says, the elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. 3 says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. You forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, and be with us, Father, over the next few minutes as we study your word. Lord, these things we ask in your most holy and precious name. Amen. And I do apologize for this, guys. We're working on it right now, trying to get it straightened out. First thing I want to point out to you in 2 John right there is that the elder. So as he opens up in the one right there, so John, we know that John the Apostle wrote this book as responsible for John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. But we have to look at the elder, how he addresses that. Now the elder is the same thing as a deacon. So he's talking to possibly a deacon. He's talking to the elder in the church is what it's leading me to do and think. Because it would be the same way in that you can ask yourself this question, could this possibly be John's church? Could this possibly be? It could be. We don't know all the facts, but we know that it says he's writing to the lady chosen by God and her children. We know that he's writing to a lady. We know that, and maybe it's the lady who's, remember back then they had church homes is what they had. Or they had homes where people would invite everybody and that's where they would have church. So maybe it's the lady, maybe it's her children that he's adjusting to. But I want to point out the first thing for you here. Look how many times he uses the word truth right there. In my NIV right there, I've got 4 times in basically 2 sentences in 1 through 3 right there. Grace and mercy, I love in the truth, and not only, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. It will be with us in truth and love. Now, the first thing John is telling us right there is to love the truth. Love the truth is our first point, to always love the truth. And we know when we ask about the truth, you go, well, Brother Michael, what does that mean? What does the truth mean? I'm going to answer that question in the next set. Look at what 4 through 6 says right there. It says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and he defines it. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love. Now, if we go back to what he's saying about the truth, think about this. So I did a little research in my Bible yesterday, and I thought of all the different ways that Jesus identified himself. He started off by saying, I am. And I just held it to John, okay? The book's responsible for John. And look what I came up with, okay? And I have this list. I'm going to go through it kind of quickly. If you'd like a list of it after church, say the word, and I'll let you take a picture of my notes. Look at what John says in John 4:26. He says, I am the Messiah. John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. John 8:23, he says, I am from above. John 9:5, he says, I am the light of the world. The King James Version says, I am the eternal one. And this is all right here in John. John 10:7. In my NIV, he says, I am the gate. King James Version says, I am the door. John 10:36, he says, I am the Son of God. Think about how many times he's identified himself, and I'm just going chapter by chapter. John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. My goodness. He says in John 13:13, I am the Lord and Master. John 14:6, what does he say? Y'all know it by heart. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He tells us right there, so we see the same words that John uses over in 2 John. He's already used in John 14:6. When Jesus identified Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. Remember that set of scriptures? John, and then Revelation 1:8, what does he say? I am the Alpha and Omega. And then Revelation 1:17 says, I am the first and I am the last. He identifies himself so well so we can be 100% certain that John is telling us to live in Christ. The world needs it. Your coworker needs it. Your brother needs it. Your sister needs it. Your children need it right now. We all need Jesus. The second point is that is to always live the truth, is what it tells us. Live like Christ would have you to live. That is what John is encouraging right here to the lady and her children. That's exactly what he is pointing. Look at what 7 through 11 says right there. He says, and he goes on to complete, and this is just 13 verses that we're pulling from. 13 verses is it. We've learned to love the truth. We've learned to live the truth is what we've done. Now, let's look at what 7 through 11 says, and we're going to learn to look for the truth. Look at 7 through 11. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. 9 says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Anyone who runs ahead. Have you ever had, we've hired people at work who have come through and you know, we put together golf carts and fix them, and we do all sorts of stuff to them. You know, and most of the time we have some of the sweetest and dearest customers who I love, especially like Jan. There's my best customer sitting right over there. We work on that golf cart all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But y'all know what I'm saying. But we've hired some people in the past who have done such a good job to be in such a hurry that they've done it so quickly, and they'll come and they'll say, done with that? What else you got? I say, well, you're already done with that? That should have taken you a little bit of timing and stuff. I mean, you just hurried through that awful fast. And then I can go back and I can point out all the things that they skipped over because they were in too big of a hurry. We do that a lot of times. John's warning us right here, don't run ahead. Don't get too ahead of yourself. Don't get so far ahead that you forget. Take your time. There's a reason they call it a walk with Jesus and not a run with Jesus. Keep that in mind as you think about the scriptures. Look at what he says. He says, Christ doesn't have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. He is warning this lady. Now, it's something, as 7 through 11 tells us to look for the truth. It's funny how easily we forget things that have happened. And we end up settling back. I don't know if many of you flipped on your TVs this week, but you remember 9/11/01 that happened almost 18 years ago or 19 years ago. Was quite a deal. Think about the days after, though, and what happened. Do you remember how our churches were flooded? Do you remember how people dusted off their Bibles? I remember seeing all this. You remember how Congress sang on the steps of the White House, "God bless America"? Does anybody remember these things that happened? I mean, I can remember visually watching them and seeing. And everybody, if I asked you to this day, knew exactly what you were doing at that exact time when it happened, because it impacted your life. It impacted you. Just like the way God's Word impacts us still today. What are we, how easily we slip back into the same routines? I don't know if y'all have taken a look at Congress, the media, stuff like that. They're not singing "God Bless America" on the steps right now, I don't see. You know, and I'm not trying to get into anything like that. I'm just saying we need to come together. We need to unite as God's people is what we need to do. And I mean, when you look at these scriptures and they come alive and you see the warning after warning and what they mean to us and what we see, John even tells us, look for the truth. You don't run it. Don't run ahead. Stay right where you are and look for the truth. Keep your eyes open to what's in front of you, because we easily fall so easily back into those old routines of doing stuff. We had church records back then in 01. You remember this, I hope. You do. The churches were filling. People were talking about how people were blowing the dust off the Bibles. Y'all remember that? Because they've been sitting up on the mantles too long. And it comes back to those. So, COVID, a little bit of a different time right now, but the question has been all along, what has God been teaching you? What has God been showing you? Well, God's been showing me that you better get ready and you better be in your Word, because we don't know when that time's coming. We don't know. We better be prepared. You better be prepared in season. You better be prepared out of season. You better be ready. Though God's Word tells us, John's reminding them again to always be ready. Look at what he says right there. Look for the truth. Look at what 12 through 13 says. He says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister who is chosen by God sends their greetings. We all, Miss Carolyn said it earlier, we're getting ready for the holidays, believe it or not. And what happens when the holidays come? Families get together. And when you think about the families getting together, everybody always says that at one point or another, Brother Greg, I know you're going to agree with me on this, you always hear, you know, we don't do this near enough when we have all the family together. I say the same exact thing. As in Kay, you and Mr. Luther probably do too. We don't do this near enough, bring everybody together. Because you hear the laughter, you hear everything, you're celebrating, whatever it is may be, the occasion you've all brought together, we don't do it near enough. What about us as a church family? Think about that for a second. Are we united as we should be? Think about that. Are we where we're supposed to be for Jesus as God's people, as a church family, as a Toggleville Baptist Church? John told us in those 13 verses that we love the truth, that we live the truth, that we look for the truth, that we long for the truth. We long for it, just like we long for a relationship with Christ. You realize how temporary this walk is on this earth? How temporary. And we'll spend in heaven, we'll spend trillions and trillions of years. We can't imagine the beauty of what God has planned for us as His chosen people. What can you change today is the question I'd like for you to ask yourself. What can you change? Have you, as Sunday school starts back, Have you been on the phone with your friends? Have you invited them to church? Have you checked on your brother or your sister? Are you reaching out to do what God is leading you to do? Ask that question today. As I look back, and I get excited, y'all, I do, and I love it. I love how I can sit in my home and I can bring out God's Word and I can start looking and God will start speaking just like He spoke to me Friday morning when He said, don't you hang your head, boy. You get up. You get ready to go. I'm with you. I got you. I've got you. He has got each and every one of us who have accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus has you. Think about that this week as we start our day ones for Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, just thank You, God, for Your Word. Lord, I hope I got out everything that You wanted me to say today. Lord, I pray, God, that You will be with us as a church, Lord. I pray, God, that You help us to keep our eyes on You, Father. As, Lord, we just love You, Lord, and we just want to do Your will. We want to be in Your will. Father, help us, Father God, to be loving, to always find the truth, God, and that is in You, Lord. Father, we just love You and we thank You. Please remember all those that we mentioned on our prayer list, Father, even the unspokens, dear Lord. Be with Miss Carolyn in her next Sunday school class, Father God. Give her words, Father. Let Your Spirit speak through her. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. And these things I ask in Your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. I've really enjoyed our time this morning.